Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 on Wednesday, June 12th. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashes. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner.
What's my name again?
Fedorchek. Julie. I was trying to remember the order you threw me off last time.
I just have one quick opening comment, and that is to welcome our intern for the summer, McKenna Stroh. McKenna's over there in the blue shirt. You can wave to everybody, McKenna. She's a high school student from Legacy High School in Bismarck, and I'm very impressed with her, although I haven't hardly seen her since she started, because she contacted me and said, I'm interested in government and public service. How can I learn more? And I didn't know McKenna. There was really no personal connection at all. And she basically said, I'll work for free. I just want to get more information about government and, what, you know, I just want to be around it. I don't care if I do grunt work. I don't care if I do important work. Just I want to be in, you know, in and around government. And so we worked it out. She's not working for free. She is getting paid. And she's with us for the month of June. And so we're trying to expose her to a variety of things, some grunt work, but also some interesting things like hearings and whether you find them interesting or not, they are like as interesting as it gets here. So commission meetings and hearings, and she'll do some evaluation out of the mines. And so we're going to get her around in the month and expose her to as much as we can. So welcome, Kenna. So great to have young people interested in government. So that's it for me.
Commissioner Christman.
Well, that's a good segue. I was going to point out that night before last night, someone asked me if it really slows down here in June, and I pointed out we were in Dickinson for a pipeline hearing on Monday, we're in Watford City for a pipeline hearing yesterday, we'll be in Minot for a wind farm hearing on Monday. But I mentioned that yours being a good segue, because on the list of attendees for the wind farm hearing on Monday, I seen McKenna's name, and I wondered who that is. And it's been so busy, I haven't had time to ask anybody. So, at least thanks for clarifying that. Welcome, McKenna.
All right. And then I actually just remembered something. The Lignite Energy Council right now has teacher's workshop that's been going on. It started on Monday. And I have to go through my slides again, but I'll actually have the opportunity to do an economics 101 on electricity tomorrow morning at BSC. So I'm looking forward to that. We have four items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I have two agenda items. The first is BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, electric service agreement, Tesoro Refinery approval, case number PU-18-434.
Second.
On December 28th, 2018, Montana Dakota Utilities, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, filed amendment number 2, electric service agreement between Tesoro Refining and Marketing Company, LLC, and MDU. The amendment provides for continued sale of all firm electric power required by Tesoro at a rate other than the applicable General Electric Service Rate 30. On May 7th, 2019, MDU filed a settlement agreement negotiated with Public Service Commission advocacy staff intended to resolve all outstanding issues between the settling parties in this case. Under the settlement agreement, MDU will charge amendment number 2 rates to Tesoro until MDU's next general rate case, when a new study of cost to serve Tesoro will be completed. The issue to be considered in this matter is whether the settlement agreement is just and reasonable and should be approved. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 22, 2019. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol in Bismarck at 701-328-2400 or Relay North Dakota 1-800-366-6888.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my second item, BK2, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, Electric Service Agreement, Sabins Metal West Corporation, approval case number PU-18-435.
Second.
Okay, again, this is very similar. On December 28th, 2018, MDU filed amendment number 2, electric service agreement between Sabin Metals West Corporation and MDU. Amendment number 2 provides for continued sale of all firm electric power required by Sabin Metals at a rate other than the applicable General Electric Rate Service 30. On February 12th, 2019, MDU filed a revision to Amendment 2 rates set forth in Exhibit A1 to Amendment Number 2. On May 7th, MDU filed a settlement agreement negotiated with the PSC advocacy staff intended to resolve all outstanding issues between the settling parties in this case. Under the settlement agreement, MDU will charge Amendment Number 2 rates to Sabin Metals until MDU's next general rate case when a new study of cost to serve Sabin Metals will be completed. Again, the issue to be considered in this matter is whether the settlement agreement is just and reasonable and should be approved. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 22, 2019, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol. Again, that number is 701-328-2400 or Relay North Dakota, which is 1-800-366-6888.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that's it for my items today. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, would you indulge me in a teaching moment?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have a lot of people here who don't necessarily come to all of our commission meetings, including McKenna. So just to go through, so we get all these applications into our office, and this time on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday, is our opportunity to take formal action on things. We do everything in the public. We never operate into like the two of us meeting in an office, or everything we do is in the public. So even when we receive things or set things out for an opportunity for a hearing, that's telling the public, here, we're thinking about doing this. If you care about it, let us know. And so that's what we just did with those two motions. This next motion is sort of the completion of our processes. So Burke applied for an application for a wind hearing or wind project, and now today we've had the hearing, we've gone through all the testimony, and today I'm here with a motion to propose an order, which is our decision on it. So that's kind of what stage we're at on this project, and you'll see some other different things that we deal with later on in the agenda item, and how that kind of comes to fruition here at different stages. But the next one is kind of the completion of our process. So with that, I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Burke Wind LLC, Burke Wind Transmission Line, Burke and Montrell Siting Application, case number PU-18-302, and Burke Wind LLC, Burke Wind Wind Energy Center, Burke County Siting Application, case number PU-18-344.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. On August 9th, Burke Wind of 2018, Burke Wind filed an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for a transmission line to be located in Burke and Montrail counties. And on September 14th, Burke Wind filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for a 300-megawatt wind energy conversion facility known as the Burke County Wind Energy Center to be located in Burke County. On November 14th of 2018, Burke Wind amended that application and proposed to construct up to a 200-megawatt energy center in Burke County. In January, on January 23rd, the commission deemed this application to be complete and scheduled a hearing for March 8th to be held in the Bow Bells. That hearing was held on March 8th for 13 hours at least. So Burke Wind proposes to construct a wind energy conversion facility within an area of approximately 22,933 acres of land in Burke County, North Dakota. Burke Wind proposes the wind project to consist of up to 76 wind turbines and have a nameplate capacity of up to 200 megawatts. Burke Wind indicated it signed a 30-year power purchase agreement with Basin Electric Power for the full output of energy produced by the proposed wind project. Burke Wind also proposes to construct an approximately 37-mile-long, 345 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in Burke and Montrail counties in North Dakota. That transmission line and corridor are proposed to originate at the wind project and terminate at the interconnection to the existing Basin Electric Power Cooperative Tandy substation in Montrail County. For both the project area and the transmission line, Burke Wind coordinated with and received feedback from the following federal and state departments, agencies, and entities. There's 10 of them: U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, North Dakota Geological Survey, North Dakota Department of Health, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, North Dakota Department of Trust Lands, the State Water Commission, North Dakota Industrial Commission, and the State Historical Society. Burke Wind performed a desktop evaluation of the project area for soils, land use, wetlands and water bodies, trees and shrubs, and protected species and critical habitats. And they also conducted Class 1 and Class 3 cultural resource inventories for archaeological resources and submitted the report to the State Historic Preservation Officer. Burke Wind filed a copy of the State Historic Preservation Officer's concurrence letter with the commission indicating its no significant sites affected determination. Burke Wind also undertook a voluntary outreach and consultation with Native American tribes to address cultural concerns and avoid potential impacts to resources of tribal or cultural significance. Burke Wind conducted natural resource field surveys, grassland breeding bird surveys, grouse-lek aerial surveys, aerial and ground-based raptor nest surveys, a bat habitat study, a grassland analysis, and analysis of potential whooping crane habitat in the wind project area. The commission is guided by but is not limited to considering problems raised by federal agencies or other state agencies and local entities to aid in the evaluation of the designation of sites, corridors, and routes. The evidence indicates that the North Dakota Game and Fish Department and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service raised various problems with respect to Burke Wind's applications. The evidence indicates that North Dakota Game and Fish submitted three letters with respect to Burke Wind's application. The first is dated November 16th of 2017. The second is dated May 22nd of 2018. And the third is dated March 7th of 2019. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service submitted two letters, which were received as evidence. The first is dated as November 25th of 2018, and the second is dated March 6th of 2019. I'm not going to go through all the issues. The order does outline all the issues raised by the Game and Fish letters and by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service letters. I'm not going to go over those right now or the company's response to all those. All those are very thoroughly outlined in the order as and take up 11 pages. It's a 25-page order, so I don't want to be spending all day on this. Those are all outlined. I'm going to really just talk about them as they apply to the siting criteria, which forms the basis for our decisions. So the siting criteria, the siting law, is really how we apply all the facts that are brought out in the hearing process, in the application process, to our decision-making. Under the commission's criteria, so Section 6906.0801 of the Admin Code identifies various exclusion areas. Under the commission's criteria, geographical areas identified as exclusion areas must be excluded in the consideration of a site for an energy conversion facility. The commission finds that the proposed wind project would not be located within any exclusion areas as defined by the administrative code. The administrative code also identifies various avoidance areas. Under the commission's criteria, these areas may not be approved as a site for an energy conversion facility unless the application shows under the circumstances there's no reasonable alternative. In determining whether an avoidance area should be designated for a facility, the commission may consider, among other things, the proposed management of adverse impacts, the orderly siting of facilities, system reliability and integrity, the efficient use of resources, and alternative sites. Economic considerations alone do not justify approval of impacting these areas. Woodlands and wetlands are designated as avoidance areas under the North Dakota Administrative Code. The commission defines a wetland as an aquatic area important to the life stages of certain wildlife species as defined by the United States Fish and Wildlife Services. Burke Wind's study indicates the wind project area contains over 2,470 wetland features. The North Dakota Game and Fish Department's March 7, 2019 letter indicated it believed Burke Wind could not have picked a worse spot in the state with respect to potential negative impacts to wetland wildlife species. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service indicated the high wetland density in the Burke project area is one characteristic indicating this area is highly valuable for wildlife. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service also estimated that 236 two-acre wetlands would need to be created or restored to compensate for the impact of the wind project. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service indicated that less than 1% of 1 square mile sections in North Dakota contain wetland communities that harbor over 200 pairs of breeding waterfowl. However, at the proposed wind project site, that percentage of rare habitat is much higher than the state average. 24% of the square mile sections within the project area have densities of 200 plus pairs. That's a quote. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service also indicated that based on peer-reviewed published study on an estimated 1,004 breeding pairs of waterfowl may be displaced by the wind project. Burke Wind committed to avoiding all wetlands with the U.S. ACE's jurisdiction. Committed to avoiding all wetlands within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers jurisdiction, its own data indicated that only encompasses approximately 6% of the wetland features of the wind project area. Burke Wind also testified it will avoid all wetlands to the degree feasible. However, when considering the totality of the evidence before the commission, the wind project will have adverse impacts on wetlands. Burke Wind testified that it is always possible to move a turbine. Burke Wind also testified that when considering alternative sites, it declined to move the project because it would have negatively impacted the efficiency of the wind resources by at least 10%. However, Burke Wind failed to establish by a preponderance of the evidence that there is no reasonable alternative to this project location. Therefore, the commission finds that the wind project does not satisfy the siting criteria with respect to the avoidance area defined by North Dakota Admin Code 6906.0103.3E. The wind project does not, however, impact any other avoidance areas set forth in the admin code. The North Dakota Admin Code also provides that the site may be approved in an area only when it is demonstrated to the commission that any significant adverse effects resulting from the location, construction, and operation of the facility in that area, as they relate to the listed criteria, will be at an acceptable minimum or that those effects will be an acceptable minimum, or that those effects will be managed and maintained an acceptable minimum. And there's a variety of these different criteria. Subsection 7 of the Admin Code requires the Commission to consider adverse effects on animal health and safety. Both U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Game and Fish express substantial concerns with respect to this factor. The North Dakota Game and Fish Department indicated the current proposed wind project will have substantial impacts to native wildlife. That's in exhibit number 44. North Dakota Game and Fish indicated the wind project is extremely valuable for a number of species of a conservation concern, and also noted that Burke Wind could not have picked a worse spot in the state with regards to potential negative impact to prairie and wetland wildlife species. Further, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service indicated the location of the proposed project falls within an unusually high-value wildlife resource, and significant negative direct and indirect impacts to wildlife are anticipated if this project proceeds to construction and operation. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service further indicated the proposed project will result in displacement of breeding waterfowl and grassland birds, and expressed concerns with an unauthorized take of eagles if the project proceeds in construction. In sum, both the North Dakota Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife opposed this project based on their opinion that this project will have an adverse impact on the health and safety of wildlife. Both agencies, but specifically U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, noted Burke Wind's attempts at mitigation measures and their recommendations continued to be to relocate the project. While the Commission acknowledges that Burke Wind has expressed numerous measures to mitigate the impacts to wildlife, the Commission finds the weight of evidence shows the proposed wind project will have adverse impacts on animal health and safety that are not at an acceptable minimum. There's also, under the law, it requires us to consider in designated sites a variety of other considerations. I think there's 11 of them. And the order outlines the evidence received in each of these considerations. I don't think I'm going to go through all of them. If you are really interested in what the record says on all of these, you are more than willing to get a copy of the order. We'd be happy to distribute those. But there's at least five of the 11 considerations that are related to natural resources and the environment, adverse direct and indirect environmental effects that cannot be avoided should the proposed site or route be designated, alternatives to the proposed site or corridor or route which are developed during the hearing process which minimize adverse effects. And we do acknowledge there that they, even after the project was adjusted to 200 megawatts, both Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife still objected to the project, and that Burke Wind testified at the hearing that it considered an alternative location. However, that location would have resulted in a lower capacity factor for the wind project, thus negatively impacting its economics. And as you heard me state earlier, economic considerations alone do not justify impacting avoidance areas. There's a couple other criteria here as it relates to the effect of the proposed site on areas which are unique to the biological wealth and habitats for rare and endangered species, and problems raised by federal agencies, state agencies, and local entities. So getting to the conclusions of the law. Let's see here. State law says that it is the policy of North Dakota to site energy conversion facilities and to route transmission facilities in an orderly manner compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources. And in our hearing process, we outlined three basic, big, broad issues that we take into consideration and weigh all the evidence as it relates to. This order finds, and the commission concludes, that based on the above findings, the commission concludes that Burke Wind failed to meet its burden of proof to show, one, that the location, construction, and operation of the wind project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. Two, that the wind project failed to meet its burden of proof in minimizing adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continued system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. And finally, it failed to meet its burden of proof that the location, construction, operation of the wind project are compatible with environmental preservation and efficient uses of resources. And therefore, this order denies the application for the wind facility and the transmission line. In summary, I know this is a frustrating, disappointing, and maddening decision for some, particularly some landowners and obviously the company. But I want to emphasize that this decision is firmly grounded in the law and the siting policy of the state. As I stated a minute ago, it's the policy of the state of North Dakota to site energy conversion facilities in an orderly manner compatible with environmental preservation and efficient use of resources. That's a direct quote from the law. The siting law is a longstanding policy of the state, and it provides for considering issues in the long term broader than individual property rights of today. And its aim is to ensure that we're using our resources wisely and protecting the resources for the future. This is the first time since I've been on the commission that we've denied an application. It might be the first time that the commission has denied a siting application ever. I don't know if it is, but it's, regardless, it's a historic decision. And it's not one that we took lightly. We had extensive discussions at the hearing. We went through every single objection raised by the agencies and reviewed everything in the record from the company as it relates to that objection and in any other testimony as it related to those objections. That was probably a 30 to 50 page document alone summarizing all of that evidence into one so we could see it in black and white. And after looking and weighing all of that and seeing it, I just firmly believe that this is the right decision based on the evidence of the case, that the company did not meet its burden of proof to show that this project has minimal impact. So with that, I'm ready to make this decision and support this order denying this application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Any comments?
Nothing to add.
Okay. I'll add a few points because, you know, obviously this is a different outcome than in the past on siting cases. But as I went through the information, there are a number of factors that really came into play for me. And the first starting with if environmental stewardship is truly a fundamental argument of renewable energy, it would be contradictory to grant a permit in an area deemed environmentally sensitive to energy development, wind development in particular, by both state and federal experts. And to dismiss those findings from those agencies would make a portion of the siting process moot. We are encouraged by the legislative body. In fact, it is written in Century Code that we cooperate with state and federal agencies and political subdivisions. And there are 27, I believe it's 27, that we work with. So to take those findings, and these findings, really the language that has been and the feedback has been stronger than feedback in the past, because I think one of the arguments might be, aren't there like areas where facilities have been sited, but never has the opposition from two agencies, one state, one federal in this case, been so strong and so clear. And we are bound by the law. We have to work within the parameters of the law. And that's incredibly important. And our decision is based on the evidence on hand. It's based on the record. and that is a part of the record, and it's a very clear part of the record. As Commissioner Fedorchuk stated, could not have picked a worse area where was the feedback from both of those agencies. So working within the parameters of the law, and the one real challenge for me in all of this, you have landowners who were anticipating or hopeful that the project would be sited, that they would be receiving payments. And when you have agricultural producers and you look at the current state of commodity pricing, it's a tough environment for them. And to look at what they could get on turbines that might be placed on their land in terms of lease payments, that's significant. So I don't take the landowner right issue lightly. It's their land. I would always like to see them be able to do with their land as they see fit. But again, we are bound by working within the parameters of the law. We are a regulatory body. We can't shift nor modify statute from the bench. That would be irresponsible for any regulatory body to go down that road, because then you're not applying the rule of law. You're starting to apply the rule of personal preference. That would be inconsistent, and it would not send a clear message to industry that's looking to invest in our state. So it's very important that we work within those parameters, and I'm also going to vote to support the motion to deny the permit.
Mr. Chairman, I change my mind. There is one point I would like to throw out.
Okay.
So for those of you who were at the hearing, you would remember that I stayed back and testified on a couple of bills that were important to the Public Service Commission, and so did not hear. But I'm not going to recuse myself. I feel perfectly prepared to weigh in on this decision. I missed the opportunity to experience it from a steel folding chair for however many hours that was, I will assure all the participants that I went through the audio, every single minute of that audio, and taking notes and everything, and so I do feel completely prepared to render a decision.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my items, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk. Commissioner Christman.
Move the commission approve bond release number 5 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-9601 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to release all remaining reclamation liabilities on 307.7 acres located in portions of sections 30 and 31, Township 146 North, Range 81 West, McLean County. The amount of the bond release is $319,989.78 and will become effective July 12, 2019, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
On October 10th of last year, Falkirk filed the application for final bond release, requesting release of all reclamation liabilities on this about 300 acres of land located in portions of two sections in the Falkirk mine. The bond release tract contains approximately 178 acres of land that was affected by mining activities and approximately 130 acres of land that was not disturbed. The bond release area includes approximately 80 and a half acres of land owned privately that were not disturbed by Falkirk's mining activities. The remainder, which would be about 227 acres, is owned by Falkirk Mining Company and includes the mix of undisturbed land and reclaimed mine land. The reclaimed mine area contains approximately 168.5 acres of cropland, a 7-acre seasonal wetland, and about 3 acres of section line trails. Coal removal occurred from 1998 to 2004 within the tract, and the backfilling, grading, and soil respread was completed on the area in 2005 and 2006. Seeding was completed on the mine area in 2007. An area of associated disturbance used for a sediment pond was reclaimed in 2011 and seeded in 2012. The topsoil respread depths We're in general agreement with the approved respread thickness. Yield data demonstrating reclamation success is summarized in some tables that are printed out. I'm not going to go through them, but it's a very thorough analysis. It has to be in years six and later, and they have to meet, you know, kind of consistent thresholds with other similar tracks in the area, and then there's weather factored in and such. But they did meet the cropland reclamation requirements. Falkirk also completed a surface and groundwater post-mine hydrologic assessment for this bond release request. No pre-mine water supplies were affected by mining-related activities, and the Reclamation Division concludes that there was not material damage to the hydrologic balance off permit due to the mining and reclamation activities on these tracts. A number of existing groundwater monitoring wells located within and adjacent to the bond release tracts will be retained for continued observations as part of the mine-wide groundwater monitoring plan for the Falkirk mine. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on November 14th of last year. The surface owners, McLean County commissioners, and several state and federal agencies were invited to participate in that inspection. The persons participating did not express any concerns with this bond release application. This bond release contains some federal coal that was mined, so OSM concurrence is required prior to final bond release approval. Mr. John Seving of the OSM Casper Field Office participated in the inspection, and he did not express any concerns with the reclamation on the tract. We received OSM concurrence regarding this bond release on May 20th, just a few weeks ago. The bond release application also contains correspondence from the McLean County Superintendent of Highways indicating the section line trail was reconstructed to a township road standard to provide for public travel and agricultural use. The public notice for the bond release application was published in the official county newspaper, which is the McLean County Independent, as well as the Bismarck Tribune for four consecutive weeks in November of 2018. No other concerns were identified during the bond release inspection that required additional follow-up or that would prevent final bond release approval. This permit is covered by a surety bond specific to the reclamation liabilities for land within this permit area. Falkirk is requesting a reduction in the bond in the amount of $319,989.78. An adequate amount of bond will remain to cover any liabilities for remaining acreage in this permit area. The bond release will become effective July 12th unless a formal hearing is requested. Bottom line is, Falkirk has demonstrated that the reclaimed lands have met all applicable bond release performance standards. The Reclamation Division recommends approval of this bond release application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to throw in one thing that really caught my eye, and it was on the cropland productivity on the reclaimed land and the fact that it exceeds the county average after the land was reclaimed, and I've never ceased to be amazed at just how good a job they do.
They do some good work out there.
I also think this illustrates the length of time at which we're involved in things. This coal removal was 1998, so our staff has, and the permitting process started long before that.
Oh, back in my NDSU days.
Yeah, exactly. We were young back when this was mined. We've been, you know, following this, and our staff have been working on it with the company for all these years, and get to this point where the land is back to the productivity or higher than everything else in that area. It's really a credit to the whole reclamation process and everyone involved in it.
It's thorough and complex, but it's effective and continuing to improve all the time.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission execute contract AM-817-19 with Logan Valley Incorporated in the amount of $314,071 for construction services for the 2019 Morton County Phase 2 AML project.
Second.
I should point out this and the next two motions all are about our AML projects for the summer. In this case, in early March, the AML division issued an invitation for bid for this project. It involves the elimination of approximately 1,800 feet of high walls at five abandoned surface mines in Morton County. About 147,000 cubic yards of spoil material will be used to backfill the high walls, and about 30 acres will be reclaimed at the two sites. Competitive sealed bidding procedures were used with notices issued to registered vendors through the State Procurement Office. The public bid opening was held on April 18th, and six bids were received. The low bid was received from Logan Valley Incorporated of Minot for $314,071. And I just want to emphasize, I always enjoy going to these bids and seeing the competitive contractors, but remember that number for month, $314,071. The other bids ranged from $314,207 up to almost $424,000. So the AML division's cost estimate for the project was $331,725. So two or three of them came in under the bid, but out of six bids, between the winning bid and second place was just a few dollars. Disappointing for one, but I'm sure rewarding for the others. A notice of intent to award a contract to Logan Valley was issued on April 18th. No protests were received. On May 23rd, the contract was sent to Logan Valley to sign. The signed contract has been returned, and we have received performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and other requested materials, so the contract is ready for execution by the commission.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion?
I just mentioned that AML stands for Abandoned Mine Lands. Abandoned Mine Lands.
I'm going to add this and then back up a little bit on the first point, on the first motion. There's a lot of work that goes in by staff, and Commissioner Christman is the portfolio holder for this program, does an outstanding job, but just a lot of effort that goes into it here at the commission, and industry does a fantastic job, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the incredible work that Randy and staff do, Dean, and I'm going to miss names, so I'm just going to stop there before I get into trouble.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
So, we'll do another teachable moment here, because you bring up a good point. We have some people that are not typically with us on these kinds of things. As I said, that one and the next two are all about abandoned mine land projects. That was for a project on some surface mine out west of Mandan. The next two are for some old underground mine corrections. And when I appreciate it being pointed out, AML is for abandoned mine lands. So the federal coal reclamation laws, SMACRA is the term for it, went into effect in 1977. Since then, the mines have to do the reclamation work that we talked about in that very first motion. It's those pre-1977 mine lands that we're talking about here. Coal companies pay an additional tax on every ton of coal that they mine that goes into federal government to pool, and that money is authorized to the various states that have these abandoned mine lands, and then we work and find the most significant and most dangerous situations, high walls or collapses, many times under roads and such, and work on fixing them. So that's what we mean by abandoned mine lands, is pre-1977. So I move the commission execute contract AM-812-19 with B&C Concrete Pumping Incorporated in the amount of $1,704,300 for drilling, grouting, and foam sand services for the 2019 Williams County Road 9 Phase 7 and Noonan AML project at abandoned underground coal mines.
Second.
In mid-February, the AML division issued an invitation to bid this project. It is for drilling and pumping pressurized grouting or foamed sand into underground mine workings that are located beneath a light industrial complex near Williston and beneath public roads near Noonan, North Dakota. The AML division estimates the project will require 15,000 feet of rotary drilling, 1,000 feet of casing, and 3,500 cubic yards of grout and 1,000 tons of foamed sand to fill subsurface voids. Competitive field bidding procedures were used with notices issued to registered vendors through the State Procurement Office. The bid opening was held on April 18th, and one bid was received from BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated for $1,704,300. That was the only bid we received. Our cost estimate was $1,029,400, so this is quite a bit more than we expected. The notice of intent to award a contract to BNC Concrete Pumping was issued on April 23rd. No protests were received. On May 14th, the contract was sent to BNC. The signed contract has been returned. We've also received performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and other materials that were requested. The contract is now ready for execution by the Commission, and the AML division has sufficient funds in the current OSM grants for this and the other projects planned for 2019.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and I believe that concludes your...
No, I think I have one more.
You have one more?
RC4. Four.
But I seem to have gotten things out of order.
I thought we just...
Not mine.
Okay. I move the Commission execute contract AM-813-19 with Material Testing Services Incorporated in the amount of $38,400 for material testing and other services for the 2019 Williams County Road 9 Phase 7 and Noonan Material Testing AML project at abandoned underground coal mines.
Second.
So this is actually the same project, but this will be for the material testing that that other company is going to pump into those voids. In March, our AML division again issued an invitation to bid for the material testing services and associated work. The project involves the same projects discussed earlier. Competitive seal bidding procedures were used again, with notices issued to registered vendors through the State Procurement Office. A public bid opening was held on April 18th. In this case, two bids were received. The low bid was from Material Testing Services of Minot in the amount of $38,400. The other bid was for $70,650. The ML division's cost estimate for this project was $43,625, so very close to what the low bid came in. Notice of intent to award a contract to MTS was issued on April 23rd. The other bidder did not appeal the intent to award, and on May 14th, the contract was sent to MTS to execute. The signed contract has been returned. We have also received performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and other materials that were requested. So the contract is now ready to execute for execution by the Commission, and again, I'll just emphasize that we have sufficient funds in the OSM grant for this and the other projects planned for this year.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right, thank you. Just a few announcements today. We do have an informal hearing related to decommissioning for case number PU-09-244. That's Otter Tail Power Company, 40.5 megawatt Langdon Wind. In Cavalier County, again, commissioning plan and cost. And then we also have the exact same thing for Otter Tail Power in case number P PU-09-245, that's today at 1:30 here in the commission hearing room at the state capitol on the 12th floor. It was mentioned earlier, but next Monday at 9 a.m. we have a formal hearing on case numbers PU-28 and PU-19-28 and PU-19-29, Russo Wind Partners. That will be up in Minot. One is for the wind project, and the other is for the associated transmission line. And that will be at the Sleep Inn and Suites, 2400 10th Street Southwest in Minot. And again, that starts at 9 o'clock. Then on Wednesday, June 26th at 10 a.m., we have the regular commission meeting here at the 12th floor at the state capitol. So that's at 10 a.m. on June 26th. And then finally, on Thursday, June 27th, we have two biannual updates, one from SPP. That is at 10 a.m. and another at 1 p.m. for MISO. And that's here on the 12th floor of the Capitol as well. We will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by a short break and then the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.
So regarding the